Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, March 29, 2024. The head of the Anglican Church in South Sudan calls on the government to pay civil servants' salaries.
We pray and urge the government to pay the salary of the civil servants and organized forces to minimize the suffering of their families.
And the head of the Archbishop of the Catholic Church in South Sudan urges South Sudanese politicians to end the violence in the country.
We appeal to you as government and opposition to prioritize the well-being of our people over political differences.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some residents of Juba Town are calling on the country's leaders to put their interests of the citizens first. The head of the Catholic Church in South Sudan is urging South Sudanese politicians to embrace peace and love this Easter season, as we hear from Manyang David Mayar in Juba.
Hundreds of Christians dressed in black are following a man carrying a large wooden cross to All Saints Cathedral in Juba as Easter celebration starts in the city on Good Friday. Athiaya Luong, one of the faithful, says the holy season is an opportunity for South Sudanese leaders to learn leadership skills and to help others, not themselves.
We need to take Jesus as example to us as a servant leader. Leadership is not about to be self, but it's about to serve people. It is really shameful to our people that we can see sometimes our government, you cannot see the this crisis in their face or even in their families because they are driving new branded cars and they are wearing well, and even no one is talking about this crisis. Nobody, no anyone. So it's good that we need to see the people, the pain.
Richard Wudu Bullen, another resident of Juba Town who came out to celebrate Easter, says the holy season comes with good examples for South Sudanese leaders to emulate.
As a leader, you have a love for your nation. You have a love for your country. You have love for the people that God has chosen you to be their leader. I don't think it's happening. If it is happening, it's very minute, because if people are suffering and then the leader is not doing anything for them, then what type of a leader is he? So what we need to do is pray for God to bring change.
In just 7 months, South Sudan is scheduled to hold elections per the roadmap for implementing the 2018 peace agreement. Some parties to the deal have recently voiced opposing views concerning the conduct of elections in December. The Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition insists the remaining time is not enough for the country to prepare for elections. Cardinal Stephen Ameyu, head of the Catholic Church in South Sudan, says the country needs selfless leaders for sustainable peace to take root in the country.
We appeal to you as government and opposition to prioritize the well-being of our people over political differences. Let this Easter serve as a catalyst for unity, healing, and renewal of commitment to find a lasting solutions to the challenges our nation faces. By setting aside partisan interests and embracing a spirit of reconciliation, we can create an atmosphere where our people can celebrate in joy and safety.
President Salva Kiir admitted in his Easter message that South Sudanese are suffering from the effects of the country's economic crisis. He promised his administration will continue to work to address the economic, security and development challenges in the country. He said, quote, while many citizens of our beloved country have lost hope because of these immense challenges, let me, on behalf of the government, reiterate our commitment to look for better ways to improve the lives of all South Sudanese, young and old, end quote. The president adds that he has directed the economic cluster to adopt appropriate remedies to address inflation. But Keir's Easter statement did not give details of the remedies. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
Still on church leaders, the primate of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, Justin Badi Arama, is calling on South Sudanese politicians to give dialogue a chance and build consensus on issues of peace and security in the country. Arama says the people of South Sudan deserve a better life. For VOA News, Juliana Shiapai has more from Juba.
In an inclusive interview with this program at his residency in Juba, Primate and Archbishop of the Episcopal Church in South Sudan, Justin Badi Arama, says the country has witnessed instability and violence, and it's time South Sudanese ask their leaders to end the vicious circle of violence.
We are sending you all as ambassadors of peace in South Sudan. We are tired of the continued violence, road ambushes, political and intercommunal killings happening in different parts of the country. We encourage citizens to celebrate Easter with love for one another and embrace the spirit of non-violence and promote peace.
South Sudan's economic crisis has forced many families to stay indoors during the Easter festivities. The South Sudanese pounds continue to depreciate against the U.S. dollars in the market, forcing traders to increase prices of food across Juba town. Primate Arama says the government should pay civil servants their monthly salaries so that they can live a dignified life.
We sympathize with the hardship the citizens are going through as a result of the current social and harsh economic situation. We pray and urge the government to pay the salary of the civil servants and organized forces to minimize the suffering of their families. In the name of the risen Lord, we wish you all the joy of his resurrection and salvation, the peace of his mercy and forgiveness, and his abundant blessings upon you all. Happy Easter.
Addressing journalists in Juba on Thursday, South Sudan's new finance minister, Awoh Daniel, said his office will pay 1 month salary arrears to civil servants soon. Many government workers have not been paid their wages for several months. South Sudan cancelled crude oil sales for the month of February and March, citing insecurity at the pipeline station in Sudan. The government declared Friday and Monday national public holiday. Work resumes on Tuesday. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
The holy month of Ramadan is a period of reverence and renewal for Muslims around the world, but U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, says this year's Ramadan has been particularly painful for Muslims in Afghanistan, Syria, Myanmar, Gaza, and Sudan. Focusing particularly on Sudan, the ambassador points out that some 18 million Sudanese face acute food insecurity, with children starving, wasting, and dying far from their homes and their communities. Millions of refugees are praying in overcrowded camps. Clean water is scarce. Measles, cholera, and other preventable diseases have spread. People in Darfur wake up not to the call for prayers, but to the sounds of gunfire. Greenfield points out that a few weeks ago, the UN Security Council came together to adopt a resolution calling for a Ramadan ceasefire. That resolution has so far been ignored.
Nearly a year since this crisis began, the situation in Sudan remains catastrophic, and it is only getting worse. Right now, just 5% of the UN's humanitarian appeal for Sudan has been met. Already, the World Food Program has had to cut assistance to over 7 million people in Chad and South Sudan.
More than just lacking funds, humanitarian workers, according to Greenfields, are simply unable to deliver to those in need. She goes on to say that since the start of the conflict, they have been on the ground, often putting their lives at risk to save people in Sudan. And yet, combatants on both sides of the conflict have undermined them at every turn. That includes Sudanese armed forces, which has impeded major humanitarian aid crossing from Chad into Darfur, she says.
At the Zamzam camp in North Darfur, a child dies every 2 hours. Experts warn that in the coming weeks and months, over 200,000 more children could starve to death. And so we once again call for the SAF to immediately and fully reopen all of its border crossings with Chad for humanitarian purposes, including the Idre border crossing. Should they not, the Security Council must take swift action to ensure life-saving aid is delivered and distributed, including, if necessary, through a cross-border mechanism.
Finally, the ambassador urges the conflicting parties in Sudan to stop fighting and get Sudan on the path to peace, because she says the humanitarian crisis in and around Sudan cannot be alleviated until the root causes of the conflict is addressed. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, UN Refugee Agency calls for donors to avert crisis in Africa. Find out why after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Maban County authorities in Upper Nile State say there is a high number of early marriages among refugees and the host community in the area. Local leaders blame parents and cultural practices for being the main drivers of early marriages. Mamer Abraham Court reports for VOA from Bunch in Maban County.
24-year-old Najat Hali is a Sudanese refugee who completed her high school in Maban's Kaya refugee camp. She says she survived early marriage after several men attempted to persuade her to drop out of school.
Right now, there are ladies who have finished senior four. They are looking for scholarship, but they cannot be allowed by our parents to get external scholarships. We need NGOs to advise our parents. Several men came to me, but I refused.
The British charity Oxfam says child marriage is still influenced by cultural traditions, poverty, and hunger. A breakdown in the rule of law and increased risk of sexual violence are also factors that lead to child marriages. 32-year-old Faida Abbas, a mother of four children and a women's representative at Kaya refugee camp in Maban County, says young girls should not be married because they will likely face serious challenges surviving childbirth or taking care of their infants.
You find a girl of 13 years or 15 years who has not reached 18 years and they are pregnant. Some of them deliver babies through surgery in Bunj Hospital. If she saves the life of the baby, she may pass away. Or if the baby passes away, she saves her life.
Early marriages are all too common among several communities in Maban County. 47-year-old Lydia Joseph, a mother of two children, says some families in Maban County still encourage child marriages. She says the number of early marriages was up this year compared to 2023.
When girls reach 14 years, they want to get married. 13-year-old wants to get married. Because of culture, girls are married at a young age before completing their education. She will remain at home and will neither do anything else nor return to school. We struggled to reduce it. Last year, we reduced a little bit. But this year, it is increasing. According to Maban tribes, there must be marriage before the start of the rainy season.
Andrew Quay, Director for Gender, Child and Social Welfare in Maban County, says his office works with the police to fight early marriages, but cultural beliefs and poverty still play a large role in child marriages in the county.
When we take action against the boy or take the girl from him, our family will say, this is our daughter, we need bright prize. This is painful to us, but still, we have agreed with the police to stand with us on this issue. And they agreed on the side of rape. There are many cases, but we are talking to parents to ensure this is stopped.
The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, says 52% of girls in South Sudan are married before the age of 18. Niger has the highest child marriage rate in the world among girls. According to the most recent data from the West African country, more than 3/4 of girls under the age of 18 were married, with nearly 30% of them being younger than 15 years old. For VOA News, I am Amir Abramkod, reporting from Boni, Maban County.
Still on refugee issues, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugee Regional Office in Nairobi has launched the 2024 Refugee Response Plan for South Sudan to address refugee crisis in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ethiopia, Kenya, and Uganda. Juliana Shiapai has that story from Juba.
The RRP is seeking $1.4 billion to support 2.33 million refugees and the 2.38 million strong host community for this calendar year. Mamadou Diane Balde, UNHCR's regional director, says the refugee crisis in South Sudan and Sudan needs urgent attention.
So the point we are making here is it's not only about asking for resources, it's about asking for resources for sustainability and using the communities that we have as much as we can. We've also, hope that we are adapting to this changing dynamics. We heard from Sudan about a year ago, if March 2023, it would have been a different chapter than April, that since April 2023. So it's to say that we need to accommodate, we need to adjust to be agile and to be able to respond to them. So it's about saving lives, it's about basic services, but it's also changing as much as possible the lives of the communities that we are faced.
Giovanni Quascarella, head of Emergency Preparedness and Response Section at the United Nations Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, says Sudan's civil war has affected South Sudan.
Starting with the importation, particularly food, into South Sudan, which has basically contributed to spike in food prices, food basket prices, particularly in some counties bordering Sudan. The export of crude oil, I think this is becoming a major issue. There are reports of damaged pipeline, and so we know that oil is a key income for the country. Definitely will have a major impact. Lastly, I would say the recent tax reform, which are also creating panic among the humanitarian workers, particularly on the importation of humanitarian goods and relief items. One critical element right now is also importation of seeds that are stuck at the border, which will prevent also the timely delivery of these seeds for the upcoming rainy season.
The UN and the Secretary for Humanitarian Affairs, Martin Griffith, warns that Sudan has suffered almost a year of continuous warfare, with recent calls for the ceasefire during Ramadan going unanswered. UNICEF representative Mandeep O'Brien stresses the urgent need for humanitarian access and increased funding to address the dire situation, with 14 million children requiring aid, many facing hunger, malnutrition, and displacement. Matthew Krentzel is the UNHCR representative of Uganda. He says South Sudanese constitute about 57% of the refugee population.
We have about 480,000 children, South Sudanese children, of whom only 57% that is about 273,000, are enrolled in schools, leaving a very big number, 206,000 of them outside, out of school. What does that mean? If you drill down, you realize that the majority of those who are not in school are those who are at the level of secondary schools. I'm building a point here. The situation in South Sudan is not becoming better. We have a very active group, young men, young women who are out of school. Mm-hmm. What is the future then? What does this lead to eventually? I think that your guess is as good as mine.
Matthew says the South Sudanese are predominantly based in the West Nile and the northern part of the country. Uganda does not have refugee camps, but they have settlements which allow South Sudanese in Uganda to live together with the host communities. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
"2024 is an important year for South Africa. Not only is the country marking 30 years since the start of its democracy, it is also an election year, and observers say the polls will be the most fiercely contested ever. Kate Bartlett has the story for VOA from Johannesburg.
Palesa Musa was incarcerated at this former women's prison in Johannesburg in 1976 when she was just 12 years old, for her role in the struggle against apartheid.
The reason why I was brought here is because they found me in Winnie Mandela's house, where I was learning how to use AK-47 to defend my country.
She recalls her elation when Nelson Mandela was sworn in as the country's first black president in 1994. But 30 years later, Musa is disillusioned by corruption in the governing African National Congress Party.
You know what? Our country, I don't know. They just eat money. They don't care about those who put them in parliament. They forget about us.
Now, this once brutal prison is a museum and home to the Constitutional Court, and a human rights festival is held here every year with talks, art, and music. Many of the people attending this year are so-called born frees, because they never knew apartheid. South Africa holds elections in May, and analysts say the youth vote could be a game changer if they turn out. Tessa Dooms is the director of a new think tank, Rivonia Circle.
So if young people showed up by themselves, just people under the age of 35, they would make up about 14 million voters. And so young people must understand if they show up in this election, they can change the country. They really have the ability to do it.
30-year-old Unanti Zelini is attending a workshop for young voters. South Africa is struggling with 65% youth unemployment, and numerous polls predict the ANC will lose its majority for the first time in May.
Then I was like, if I see a corrupt political party doing whatever in terms of poor service delivery and lack of many opportunities out there, then I was like, I might as well not vote.
But 23-year-old Tabang Magakwe is excited to cast his ballot for the first time ever.
I registered to vote last year. I made sure. And I used my social platform, my Instagram, Facebook, my WhatsApp. Guys, vote, vote, vote. I want to see things changing in South Africa. Inequality, corruption. I want to see change. I believe in change.
He says South Africa's democracy is worth protecting for future generations. Kate Bartlett, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Russia struck the northeastern Ukrainian city of Kharkiv.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America, and it's time for our weekly listener comments. Daniel Ariag Michael in Yeytown writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. Our government should please put more efforts in bringing the high inflation rate of the dollar so that the poor can afford what is in the market. I urge the national government not to turn their backs and pretend nothing is going on, and yet innocent citizens are suffering." Sabri Isaac Kamis in Yambia, Western Equatorial State writes, "Hello, John Tanza. The move taken by the government to crack down on black market dollar dealers may worsen the devaluation of South Sudan pounds against the U.S. dollar. Our country is a consuming economy. We produce nothing apart from crude oil. Now, to regulate the economy will not be possible. The only option left now is to accept our failure and call for an external support, like the international community, to come with support. Otherwise, nothing will work internally. God have mercy on us. James Roy Majok from Unity State Bantu writes, "Hi, Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. The only option for South Sudan government to fix this inflation rate of US dollars is to mitigate it as soon as possible, and prices of commodities should be reduced down to normal prices when the Minister of Finance addresses the inflation rate that affected every citizen in the country." Thorn Mamor Makwet writes, "Dear John and Nabil, I'm in Juba. Reopening of schools after the heat waves is a good news to students, but those schools might close themselves due to the current hard economic heat, because parents will fail to pay expensive school fees and to provide food to their families, and therefore this, despite the situation, requires a government desperate solution. Otherwise, happy Easter to all." Abraham Ito Bongu writes, "Hello, good evening. I am a student of Kajukeji Health Training Institute, Arua Branch, West Nile. I'm so glad for the update you have given us, and may God be the one that will change South Sudan. We are struggling to ensure that peace reach out to the local communities and bring back togetherness. Otherwise, God bless you all." Lamela writes, "Hello, VOA team. We always appreciate your broadcast, but it's us South Sudanese who are liars and not telling the truth. So we should repent for our sins first so that God will forgive us. I am from Nyumba District of Uganda. Thanks." Majak Marco Majong from Makwach Payam in Ton County of Warap State writes, "I condemn the killing of the county commissioner of Jebel Buma by unknown gunmen. Views expressed in this segment does not represent the views of the Voice of America or the South Sudan in Focus program. Keep your comments coming. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We shall sample some of your voice and text messages every Friday. And that's all we prepared for you this Friday, March 29, 2024. We now leave you with Radio and Whistle featuring B2C and the song Gumteza. We've been listening to Radio and Whistle featuring B2C and the song Gumteza. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Peter Hindley, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Once it's a mukomer and a simbane kalina gawala yinkulina sipo wanda yilava jesisina. Mutima kwensi gaza yume wana.